Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another DL Gaming episode. Oop. We're here with Chad.
That is me.
Emilio.
No Chi today.
And Bobby. What's up, guys? Yeah, Chi is not here today. She's not feeling too good. She will be back next week.
She's probably not feeling too good because she's trying to go through all 12 games in this week.
Dude, she's putting in work, man. I've seen her. I think she's been streaming every night this week.
Yeah, if you want to support her. Her Twitch streams on Smoochi, S-M-O-O-X-C-H-I. She's been recording a lot, yeah. So I hear.
And I was watching her stream Portal 2, which is really fun to watch somebody play through because you can see the scrunching on their forehead and
the thinking process.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's really cool, actually. Way more than like a lot of other games. I really enjoyed it. Or maybe it's because I know her. No, because I've seen her stream before. This is my favorite game I've seen somebody stream.
Cool.
Yeah.
I always wonder about puzzle games being streamed because I worry that the audience tries to help out a little too much and kind of ruins it. So.
I think she was open to it. So
okay. It was like a collaborative effort.
Yeah, I believe so.
Very cool.
She always seems to be pretty collaborative on her streams, right? She talks to her listeners and wants them to talk back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Other announcements. We are looking for listener spotlight. So if you want to be on the show, let us know.
Yeah. For new people, basically what happens is what we try to do is if a listener is interested, let us know either on our Steam page or our individual Steam accounts or go on to Discord and talk to us, send us a direct message. But basically at the end of a show, we like to, if we can, have a listener come on, talk about themselves and all. It's a lot of fun. We get closer to you guys, and you get closer to us.
And you can pick anybody to interview you, but nobody but me has ever been picked. So there is that caveat.
No, I feel like they're just not going to pick
you.
You're
a community outreach specialist.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if what's this about at us to make sure that we see it on Discord? Are we having trouble seeing some messages on Discord?
Discord is blowing up. And, you know, it's not just, I have a question for the DL Gaming crew. It's like if you're having a spirited debate about anything, just add us at some point in it, one of us. I'm probably the most active, Chad secondly, and Bobby.
Well, Chad second?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I feel like I'm I'm a solid because, second here.
Because Chad and I have conversations about what's gone on Discord that day. And
anyways, there's a lot of stuff that goes on Discord.
And too much.
Too much for us to always see it.
It's
so.
All encouraged, but yeah, too much all at once.
So if there is something that you think would be interesting to the podcast or just to us, we encourage you to at us, you know, so we can see
what's going on. Direct message.
Message.
Yeah. But I feel like people do a pretty good job of doing that because when I get on Discord, I do see a couple at mentions there.
Yeah, the first thing I do is check my at messages, see if anything.
So that would be
happens.
At. And there's Logic at Flopsy at Digi.
Yeah. Oh, and if anybody's new and you don't know how to get to our Discord channel, you can go to our webpage, dlgaming.net. It's got our Discord channel. It's got all the different links there.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, we got two new Patreon subscribers, Whoop. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Fastidious already was, but he just, increased it by 200% or some crazy shit.
Well, thank you very much, Fastidious.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Fast. That's amazing.
We're discussing what we're going to do with the 200 because it's going straight into the podcast.
Well, the thing is, we can get one hooker for half an hour.
Yeah.
And she says she'll do anything during that half an hour.
Yep.
So we got to be quick.
Yeah.
But that's what that's going to go toward. But next month's 200, if it comes through, that's going to be for the podcast. No. Just how we're going to, every dollar that comes in is for the podcast. So, Clown Lotion, thank you so much for joining. You said it was a long time coming. But the other day, I was talking about how like super fans come in and out. And when I say super fans, I just mean people that participate. and give feedback. That's never expected, but always encouraged.
Appreciate it also.
Yeah, appreciate it. And Clown Lotion, I would say, is our longest, like, active super fan.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Jens might be up there, too.
Oh, Jens, that's true.
Yeah, but... Yeah, it's true, but he's not on Discord all the time and stuff.
Yeah.
You know what? Fuck Jens. No, I'm kidding. All right, so moving on?
Yeah.
Moving on. All right, on the radar, what
But thank you again, Festidus. That was awesome.
Big thanks.
And Clown.
And Clown, yes. Thank you both. Are we sending them?
Clown only 2.5% of how much we're thanking Fest.
Are we sending Festidus a shirt or anything like that? What are we doing?
He already has all the shirts.
Does he?
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll have to send a new shirt, a new something, and he gets the first one.
Sounds good.
All right.
Oh, yeah, we got T-shirts, guys. Go to the websites there.
Yeah. Okay, so on the radar, I'm doing a little differently this week because we've been missing out on some stuff. So there's stuff that came out this week that I kind of wanted to highlight because for different reasons. So the first one, so these games are all out already. You can pick them up right now, but we haven't mentioned them before on the podcast. So I wanted to mention a couple quick ones real quick. The first one is called Rise and Shine, and Rise and Shine is from Adult Swim. It's a side-scroller shooter, and you basically play a boy with his gun, and they both have the ability to do different things. And so it's just a side-scroller. It looks pretty well done. It's tongue-in-cheek.
The gun is alive.
Yeah, the gun is alive. The gun gets to do different sort of things during it to solve puzzles and all. So it just looks fun and interesting. It's $15 regularly, but if you get it right now, it is $12. But it just looks like a lot of fun. And
it looks like a colorful, pretty armored slug, or what's that called?
Metal slug.
Yeah. It looks like a much better metal slug. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so I'm interested if I might throw the $12 down, and it's getting mostly positive. The second one up that also came out this week is called Detention, and Detention is a side-scroller horror game. So I put this on specifically for you, Bobby, because I think this might be
10
something.
10 out of 10 after fucking 900 reviews.
Overwhelmingly positive with almost 900
Bobby,
reviews.
Where you at, dude?
So, Bobby, have you heard of this? Are you interested?
I have not heard of this. Why am I always the one that comes up when it's a horror game?
Because like, neither of us will play horror
games.
You
put together a horror special last year? Yeah. Maybe that's why?
Yeah. So it is $12, but it's on special right now for 10% off, so it's about $10.50 right now. But it's a side-scroller. I'm not... Like I said, it's gotten really good reviews. There's puzzles in it, but it's light puzzles,
it so
I'm
not
really sure.
It kind of looks like that game where you play as an Inuit child.
Oh.
Yeah, what was that game? That was exactly what I was
thinking. Spirited Away? No.
No. The Miyazaki movie? No. What the hell was that game?
Fuck.
It started with a W. The something.
Maybe one of our lists are...
Yeah. It'll come to me later. I'm going to shout it out.
Which was a good game. I enjoyed it. It's a little kiddie, but I enjoyed it for sure.
Yeah, so anyways, that's Detention. That's the second one. It's out right now. The third one up is Early Access, which is live right now, and it's called Pit People. The reason I bring this up is it's a Behemoth game that's in Early Access, and I know both of you guys are big fans of Behemoth.
What do they make again?
Castle Crashers is like their their main one, but they've made... Battle Block Theater, isn't that also
Battle Block Theater.
Behemoth?
Okay, yeah.
And it is getting really good reviews too, Bobby, if you want to... Pull up Pit People.
Is this the game that they were advertising a while ago?
It could be.
It was like a hexagonal board game type thing?
Correct.
Okay. Wow, that's out now, huh?
It's early access. So this is still early access, but it's apparently pretty well developed for an early access. So if you buy it right now, I think it's $15. Scroll down a quick second. Yeah, $15. I hear it's pretty far along, so you can... get most of the game right now. It also, scroll up real quick, Bobby, if you could.
I can't really even tell what this is.
It's also overwhelmingly positive with almost 700 reviews.
So strategy, turn-based strategy?
It's a turn-based strategy in a hexagon world, But I think they do a lot of, you know, how Behemoth does it, where it kind of breaks the game and each stuff's always going on that kind of changes.
The
yeah.
So this looks pretty cool. The graphics kind of look like Starve a little bit.
Yeah, it's Behemoth style.
Behemoth style, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so.
Do they have the same announcer for
that
game?
I'm interested.
Not the announcer, the narrator. You know, the guy who has the voice. Yeah, that guy who's always all over the place. Hilarious guy.
Okay, and then the last one out that I wanted to highlight is called I Am the Hero. Bobby, that's also on Steam if you want to bring it up. It's a...
I wake up every morning.
The first thing he's
the fucking hero.
Then you whip your dick out like he does me. In fucking, what is it, Boogie Nights?
Yep.
So this is a pixelated side-scroller beat-em-up. It's cool because it's got combos similar to like a fighting game. And you also have a combo. You also have a super meter, so you can build up points and then do supers and all. Yeah. But the other reason I wanted to bring this up is
kinda like a single player Final Fight.
Yes, but it's co-op too. You can do two player co-op on that. So I was looking at it and maybe you and I get together, you know, when we're talking about what game should we play. And it's regularly $10. It's on sale right now for $9. So,
well, I've been waiting to get back more into
Dead Air. Is not what we want to hear.
God damn it, Wang is being.
Oh, Shadow Warrior 2.
Yeah,
for sure.
What did that say about me? That the only thing I can remember about the game
is Wang. Wang. Well, it's the dude's name. Yeah. But anyways,
one of my customers this week. His name was Kang Wang.
Really?
Yeah. Kang Wang.
Kang Wang.
Yeah. I have a coworker named Pang Wang. But anyways, positive reviews for I Am the Hero, but only 10 reviews. I think it just came out today, so I'm interested in that one as well. So that's what's kind of like on the radar for me this week.
Hmm. Cool.
Yeah, it all looks good.
All interesting, man. Yeah.
All intriguing. I like that. And all that stuff is actually out right now.
Yep.
So right, I think what Chad did was he just went to the front page of Steam and just copied the top four ones.
Actually, don't tell anybody, but PC Gamer has 5 games you might have missed on Steam every week. Cool. They do it.
Yeah.
So shout out for PC Gamer that has that article.
And they also have like top free games this week, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, a couple of those were from because I'd go to that one. I like to go to that one and see, like, maybe there's some hidden gem that I don't know about that we can talk about. And there were quite a few that I was like, oh, this looks cool. Oh, this looks cool. So I wanted to bring that up.
Cool.
All right.
More Punch Club.
More Punch Club. The last you'll hear of it because I beat the game and I just wanted
to. Nice. Congratulations.
That. Really did enjoy the game. And I think what was different about Punch Club
Can you go to the other?
What's this?
Can you go to the Discord?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I can see it on my screen up here, but I realize you guys can't see it on yours, so I forget. But yeah, I beat Punch Club, and I think what sets this game apart from the other simulation games, is that it actually has a not like what I would call a really good story, because it is so like trite, overused cliches all over the place, but it's kind of intriguing. There is a twist at the end. Don't spoil it for anyone if you've played, but there's a big twist at the end. But a lot of these simulation games, I just kind of get addicted to, and I don't know. There's nothing really that draws me to playing them except the fact that I want to beat them, or because they're just so addictive by nature. But this one, I actually was interested. Like, the story was kind of one of the driving factors in it. So I played it to completion, and when I first played this game, one of the things that I was asking was, are there different storylines you can go down? Like, if I make these decisions, does that take me down another storyline? I looked into it a bit, and it looks like there is, like, a evil storyline. Like, you can work for a mob guy and then go down, like, this dark path. I don't know if it all ends up in the same spot. But I did miss some of the side quests because I played it...
Straight and narrow.
Yeah, I played it as the hero, as the good guy.
Janitor-esque.
And I don't know. There might have been a few other ones that I missed there, but I really did enjoy this game. I do recommend it. I don't know. I really like sim games, but there are some that I can't get into. Like YouTuber's Life, tried it, could not get into it. Maybe I need to give it another shot. I don't know. Amelia, did you have something?
Yeah. So did you have to go down all the... Did you have to go down the crime fighter, the superhero, all those different things in order to beat the game? Or could you have just done one and beat the game?
I think you don't need to do the crime fighter one because the Dark Fist, it was actually a free DLC that was added.
I didn't
later.
Mean that specifically. I
just yeah, not like... that specific one. I don't know, because a lot of it really tied together, and I couldn't advance in other areas until I had unlocked one part of it. The whole storyline is not very linear. It branches off into these different areas, and then they all like kind of meet back in the middle for something, and certain things give you advantages. Yeah, Chad.
We're doing this.
You make it worse when you call it out.
We're doing this so we don't cut you off.
Okay.
You were... When you first started playing it, you liked it, and then you were having some running into some issues. Is there any advice for people that are playing Punch Club to avoid those issues? Because it looks like at the end of it, you really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I mentioned a week or two ago when I went back to start playing it, I just branched out and started doing different things, different parts of the story, and that made me progress a lot further. So I really got stuck on just trying to do one thing, and this game kind of stresses you out because you lose when you work out, you build stats, strength, speed, stamina, and you lose stats every single day. So it's not like you can rest up for a while and do a bunch of other stuff and then come back to working out and then like win the fights. Like you have to constantly be on top of it. It's all about getting the most, like managing your time most effectively. And I kind of got stuck in a rut where I was just like, I'm just going to beat this, or I'm just going to work out and do this regimen over and over and over again and get these small gains little by little. I mean, it did, but it took forever. I beat the game in 400 days, which is, I think, a lot. There's an achievement for beating it in 300 and an achievement for beating it in 200 days. And I'd imagine that would be really, really difficult. But I think 400 days is a little long.
Hmm.
But you were enjoying it, too.
Mm-hmm. I did. Yeah, it's got tons of references, bunch of cheesy stuff. That's all good. And, yeah, highly recommend it. It's probably like, how much is that game? $15? You can find it on sale for less.
Maybe 10, yeah.
Yeah.
Chad, let's talk about Owlboy.
Sure.
This is a 2D side-scroller. And
shout out to Emilio, first of all, because he bought it for me for Christmas. Yeah. So I appreciate that.
It was overwhelmingly positive, top and bottom.
Yep.
That's what I'm going to call mixed and, or what is it? Recent and past or whatever.
Yeah, recent and overall.
Overall and recent.
Yep.
So top and bottom. So go ahead, Chad. What did you think?
The art style is really cool. I really like the art style. It's pixelated, but it's pixelated where they made a choice. Instead of like, oh, we don't have the artist, so we're going to make a pixelated game. It's more like we're choosing to do a pixelated game, and but we still have the artists to be able to pull this off.
Yeah.
So that's, I appreciated that.
How much time did you put into it?
So I got, because I've been away for this weekend, I've only gotten up to where the space pirates first come in. Okay. So after the first dungeon.
Yeah.
And then the
space. But you can kind of see where they're going, right?
Yep, exactly.
Where you're like, depending on who you're picking up.
And it's different because it's a platformer, but you can fly. So it's not really a platformer, but they do things to make sure that you're on the ground.
Being challenged.
And being challenged in other ways.
Yeah.
So, I thought it was a good, interesting change to the platform mechanic.
For a platformer to hold my interest this long, you have got to be one hell of a game.
Yeah.
This is like it's not nearly as pretty as Ori and Blind Forest, but as far as fun-wise, that's where I'm going to put it.
Yeah.
I'm not into platformers. The writing's cute.
It hit me with the feels right off the bat, though. Did it kind of...
Yeah, it's funny. Your character's a mute. So, like, that, there goes the silent protagonist.
Yeah.
Right there, like, okay, cool. Like, it's almost better to just say that than to, like, why is Gordon Freeman never say anything?
Exactly,
ever?
Yeah.
You know? Not that every game could call him a mute, but... And it also plays towards, yeah, exactly, the feels where, like, you feel bad for him because he can't defend himself.
Well, also, at the very beginning, I'm not spoiling anything. At the very beginning, he just fucks up. And just, there's that whole scene where... Yeah. He's like walking. You're walking across the bridge, and just people are just. Remember that?
They did amazing job with that.
You're like, oh fuck! Like, yeah. What? He's getting just shit on. Yeah. Like, So you kind of you want graphics, really. Yeah, you just want him to succeed because of the character that you're playing as. So on top of just wanting to beat the game, you're now attached to that. So I really appreciate that. I've only been to one boss, but the one boss was fun. The mechanic, I see how this is working, how you got to drop your guy in certain situations, pick him up. I now have the teleport.
But there's going to be several guys.
And yeah.
They each have.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Different things.
So, yeah, highly recommend.
I mean, how many hours are you in, you think?
Probably double you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say.
And it's $20 on Steam. I don't think it's been on sale or anything, according to your thing, Bobby.
It's $20.
$25.99.
Yeah, the lowest price it was ever at was on the last Steam sale, and that was $19.99.
Yeah.
And that's exactly where I would say it fits. I would say this is a $20 game.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Just when looking at the graphics, like just at first glance, I see $25 and those graphics, and there's a disparity there.
They look better in motion.
Yeah,
really good things about this game, and it's probably I don't think it's the first game on my wish list, but it should be because this is the game I have the most interest in.
The animations on most of the animations are very fluid, which you don't see in these kind of graphics very
exactly,
often.
Exactly, yeah.
They did a great job with the animation, except for one. The jumping animation for Owlboy really sucks.
Because you never jump. Yeah. You always just fly.
You jump in the waterfalls.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Hmm. Cool. Yeah, and yeah, highly recommend.
Let's go to Xbox for Windows so I can go pee, because I don't care about that.
Okay. This is more directed towards Bobby. So I play a lot of Hearthstone, and I play a lot of Hearthstone specifically for Arena. Why do you have to make it
Watching Emilio try to step over a table and a cord and a microphone.
Later, lab. So I play a lot of Hearthstone Arena, and so what I use is Hearthstone Arena companion app, basically, which will help you pick cards and stuff like that. It doesn't play the game for you. Exactly. But it's done through Overwatch. So I booted it, I created it, or I installed it for my new version of this rig, and the first thing that did is it popped up and said, you've got Xbox for Windows DVR running, which can cause latency and lag. Would you like to disable it? And I'm like, what the fuck is this? I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, they enable it by default, and it's really annoying because it causes a big problem with Heroes of the Storm. And one of the big suggestions that a lot of people are always asking, you know, how do I improve my lag? How do I get rid of this stuttering in Heroes of the Storm? And top two things you can do is get rid of that Xbox DVR shit that they turn on, and it's very difficult to turn off. I mean,
it isn't,
but they make it harder than it needs to be. You have to go into the Xbox app and dig through the settings and find it in a very specific spot to turn that off. And that basically what Xbox DVR is you can press a hotkey on the keyboard, it immediately starts recording or streaming your screen, which sounds all well and good, but it doesn't work with very many games, and it's an overlay, so it causes a lot of lag. But that, and also NVIDIA has a similar thing. You know, they're, what's NVIDIA's version? Shadowplay,
yeah.
Which can cause some issues as well.
Yes.
Sorry, did you say that Heroes of the Storm is on Xbox? Is that what you said?
No. Xbox. You did the thing where you go to the bathroom and you come back and you ask a question about something we just explained. But it's an overlay where you can record your screen, and it's built into Windows 10.
So if you have Windows 10,
you have this now. And it's turned on by default.
It's defaulted on and can cause lag and latency. So I just think it's important for all our listeners to know that if you're not using Xbox for Windows DVR, you should be turning that motherfucker off and be mad at Microsoft for defaulting it on. And I found if you just type in Xbox into your search function and push enter, it brings it right up the Xbox for Windows screen, and you can mess around with it there. Yeah. You want to talk RimWorld?
Oh, yeah, I'll talk about it a little bit because I've only just started playing it. Actually, I put in a couple hours, but a couple hours into a game like RimWorld is not a lot. The first run was just kind of figuring things out. It is a very detailed, what would you call it, a simulation game?
Is that top down where you're on a planet and it's like randomly generated your intro or whatever?
You can choose a couple different scenarios, how many survivors you want to start with, or are you just like a lone ranger who just kind of went out to explore the world? But yeah, it's a top down, like kind of survival base building game, I guess you would describe it as.
You're trying to expand?
Yeah, I mean, you're building your base bigger and bigger. You get different survivors. They raid your village. I feel like a lot of this has been done before, but RimWorld does it very well. There's just so many, it's so detailed that there's so many interactions that can happen, and you can't specifically give people orders. Your people do kind of what they want to do, and you can kind of set guidelines for that. Like, you can say, like, okay, you're the hunter,
okay, the
and
twist.
You're going to hunt in this area, or, you know, you are the doctor if someone gets injured. But you can't say, you can draft people, and then you can say, like, hey, you do this, and then they have to follow that order. But still, even that is very limited.
So you're kind of playing the role of the commander overlord. Or whatever, but you're never seen. You're this invisible overlord.
Yeah, I mean, you're just controlling people, and
okay.
A good thing about a game like this is that there's a lot of role playing involved too, because you can name your characters, and then it just kind of becomes this funny simulation that plays out, and each character has. They have attributes, and they can be good or bad. So all of them have good and bad. What's that?
Have I died?
Have you collected dysentery and died?
No, not yet. But there, when you build these characters, like, I was like, okay, got to build the DL Gaming crew. So, you know, it's us three and Chi. You know, three guys and one girl. How could that go wrong? sooner or later, someone's going to hook up with someone. You know that's going to happen. I'll tell you who did later.
Me and Chad. All right.
No, but when I was creating these characters, like, you roll the dice, and it randomizes how they look and their traits. So I just kept doing it until I got someone that kind of looked like each of us. And, you know, I had to be pretty generous with that, but kind of looked like us and kind of resembled us in attributes. And I mean, everybody didn't turn out perfect. You know, there were some,
I don't think I have any attributes. So what did you go with?
Alcoholic. Did he get alcoholic?
It's not an attribute.
Yeah. Everyone has a predisposition. Well, not a predisposition. Everyone has like a setting, a value for substances, because that's part of the game too. So some people, it's like, what's their policy on drugs? Some people are like recreational. Some people are like addicts, you know, stuff like that.
How many people are we talking about? How many people are you managing, bro?
Well, it starts out as four, but then others may come.
Or we might make some more, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, you can have babies and all that stuff. But yeah, so Emilio, you ended up being gay. That hasn't gone anywhere yet.
First of all, rude.
Wow. I mean, what's wrong with being gay? Whoa, hold on.
Maybe
homophobia in 2017, really?
And then, gay Emilio. RimWorld takes on a whole new meaning then with Emilio.
Yeah, we covered this already. Yeah,
okay. Yeah, I think that was actually the name on RimWorld of the episode.
What else would you have?
I think we actually named an episode on that. But yeah, so Chad and Chi ended up falling in love, which is good because now they can share a bed, and I don't have to build as many beds. So you know, it helps.
I'm the smooth one. How about you? Are you getting a little on from Emilio on the sides?
No, I'm like psychologically dangerous, apparently, in this.
So very accurate to real life.
Yeah, like I'm the one that I've got to be very careful what I do, because I have a tendency to freak out, apparently. And Emilio, funny. Your character also does not like to work during the day. You like to
like
to do stuff during night. You're
nocturnal.
I don't know. They didn't use the word nocturnal, but they have a word for it. But
I'm curious, did you know this before you said okay, or these quirks developed after you said okay?
Some of them develop afterwards. Some of them happen, or you're assigned when the character is created.
Okay.
But right now we're just playing out the simulation, so maybe I'll come back in a week and give you updates on how our whole colony is going.
I want an update in a week on if we have had kids.
They've got a really good one thing that I will praise about this game is their tutorial, and you have to have a good tutorial for a game like this.
Yeah.
I kind of liken it to Prison Architect, but it's way more complicated. Like, I can't even describe how detailed some of these things are. You have to take
in a good way?
In a good way, because it allows you to continue to play the game and have new experiences with it, because Prison Architect is a lot of fun, but then eventually it just becomes like, what kind of wacky prison can I build, and what kind of weird things can I make happen? You know, you kind of get through it all.
More like The Sims.
Yeah, kind of like The Sims. This game, you can make it as hard as you want it to be. I have it kind of on a moderate to casual setting right now because I'm learning it, but I still feel like I'm not optimizing a lot of things, and I got to watch other people play to kind of figure out what I'm doing wrong. But I am kind of getting through it, and I went through the tutorial, and it was very helpful.
Are there aliens in this as well? Because you're playing
in space. There's got to be aliens. I mean, everyone's looked human so far.
You haven't run into it? And what are the problems?
What do you mean problems? Oh, yeah. You got to food, disasters break out. There will be fires. Raiders always come in, try to raid your base.
Oh, other humans.
Yeah, other humans. I haven't seen any aliens yet, but it is in space, and there's, like, ships that crash land, and you can salvage them for parts.
And you're a rim world, so, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a good game. I'm enjoying it, and so look forward to hearing more. More tales of the DL Gaming crew. And you have to choose your colony name and your planet name. So our planet was Titania, and the colony, I can't remember what I called it, but okay. I'll find that
cool
out.
Cool story, bro.
Keep you updated.
Cool, cool.
DS for Windows?
Oh, so going along with Owlboy, I wanted to play it on a controller, but I only had a PlayStation 4 controller at the time. And so because I
Wait, what?
So I only had
a controller. Our whole house is full of controllers.
I know, but I wasn't at the house at the time.
Oh, that's right. Okay, my bad.
So I only had a PS4 controller, but I had heard that Steam is now supporting PS4 controllers.
Really?
On their latest, if you want to go to their like latest patch while I talk. So I plugged it in and it didn't work. So I started doing some research. And basically what I found out is there's this app called DS for Windows, and you go to dsforwindows.com or something like that, and you can download this app. And basically what the app does is it turns the PS4 into a simulated Xbox keyboard. Controller.
Oh, okay.
So using DS for Windows, you have to have the Xbox controller set up, installed, and then download DS for Windows and get that running, and it worked beautifully. But I'm not sure if...
That sounded involved.
It was only involved because I had to do my research online to figure out how to do this and read articles and stuff. But once I got it installed, it was working.
I'm also
flawlessly.
Lost when you said you also have to have your Xbox stuff installed. What do you mean?
If you don't plug in a dongle and it automatically installs software...
Dongle.
Exactly.
Okay.
You can download it externally by going to the Microsoft site or the Xbox Windows.
You can't go straight from keyboard to PS4 controller. There needs to be an Xbox controller somewhere in there?
No. You just have to download the drivers to be able to do it. You need the Xbox.
Where you can get where?
Which you can get at the Xbox for Windows site.
Okay.
So you just download the Xbox controller drivers, and then you can do the DS4.
So our problem is, and the problem we always run into, is you and I have always been acclimated to the triangle X square
yep.
circle. And then when we play the X, Y, all that, we get confused.
Yeah, we get all fucked up.
We literally have to look at it a lot of the time.
We still do.
We still do. But that doesn't help this.
It does because Owlboy supports PS4 controller setup. So it saw that I was playing a PS4, so the button prompts are in triangle.
But so you don't have to map the keys. It automatically.
But you wouldn't need DS4 for that then, because Owlboy already supports it natively.
No, what DS4 does is it allows you to use a PS4 controller. So, like, you can't, it won't even turn on.
Owlboy already does.
No, like, I mean, your PS4 controller literally won't turn on if it's plugged into the unless you have this.
Okay.
Like, you need to have the blue bar on the top of it, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
It wouldn't even turn on the blue bar unless you had this set up. So, yeah, if you're into PlayStation 4 controllers over the Xbox controllers, give it a go and tell me what you think. I will probably continue to use it off and on and see if I like it better. But
I'm going to jump in before the Battlefield board and thing. Life is Strange, I played through episode 1, and this is really interesting. So I played off of Team Thomas' account. I could have played off of anybody's account.
Yep, all of us have it.
Yeah, and here's the really interesting part. I finish episode 1, and it jumps over to my own library, which I never bought this game.
Okay.
Maybe somebody gifted it to me. But anyway, as I was playing it, it jumped over. And now I cannot continue to episode 2. I think this is one of those games that you can't share.
Well, I don't know. It might be, but episode 1 is free, isn't it?
Yeah.
So there you go.
They made episode 1 free.
So I think as I was playing it, they have some sort of fail safe to protect
themselves.
Well,
this is a problem we've had before where there's been a free-to-play game or something like this, like an episodic or a game that, I don't know, there's been weird instances and we've had issues with it where family sharing will not let you play someone else's game because of some weird thing, like the game being, the first episode being free to play.
We had that with Shadow Warrior. Remember last week when we played Shadow Warrior, it was trying to pull from my account?
No, but that was more like just straight up. What order Steam is pulling it. This is different.
I wish I could remember the exact problem that I had before. I think it was something like you already had the game, but I had the DLC, but you couldn't play the DLC or the additional content because you already owned the original game. It was
something like that. I'm not going to complain ever about Family Share. I've played so much shit off of that.
Seriously.
I've played hundreds of dollars worth of content on, so I'm not going to complain ever. I'm just saying, I'm in this curious thing where do I want to pay for 2 through 5, right? 2 through 5.
Yeah. How much is it? Because I would say it's worth it. I'm sure it's been on sale.
Did you enjoy the first episode?
The high school stuff was really hard to swallow.
Yeah, I understand.
But by the end of it, Sam and I were hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, and because the first episode, I think, is the worst episode.
And I knew that, and we both enjoyed Oxenfree so much, and I'll get into that next, that we were looking for something Oxenfree-esque, and this might even be better than Oxenfree as far as like a linear story. So that's why I started playing it. And now here's my conundrum. Bobby, you just found it for about $7?
On G2A, they're listing it episode 1 through 5 for $7.12. So I'd say you could probably get it on G2A for around $10 or less.
Now,
and it's definitely worth it.
Let me put this out there. It doesn't really, between $9 or $2, that chasm doesn't really, there's nothing there. It's money, whether or not I want to spend money. Because I can just go to YouTube and watch 2 through 4. But I wouldn't be controlling it.
Yeah, and that is, I wish we could, I really think you should play it so we can have like a spoiler discussion on it, because there is a lot to talk about with that game, and there's a lot that doesn't translate over, because that game is about decisions and the decisions that you make, and you have the ability to go back on any decision that you want. And I really wish I could like spoil the ending, because that comes into play at the very end. And
By the way, Chloe's a fucking smoke show.
Yeah.
Chloe, the blue-haired?
The blue-haired one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's probably underage, but, you know.
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, you know, by now, she's underage.
Yeah. But her like, attitude and demeanor is kind of...
Yeah.
I mean, sexy. If you're into that.
Sexy.
But yeah, I would say definitely buy this game, get it for cheap, play through it, and then we'll talk about it with the spoiler warning.
Sam really wants me. She's like, buy it right now. I was like, whoa.
And it's a really good one to play with in a couple relationship, because you guys can talk about the choices and which one you want to do and all that stuff. And it's kind of like watching a movie too. Like you walk around a little bit, but a lot of it is done through that FMV style.
Who's got Battleborn?
I can talk Battleborn a little bit. Fastidious actually brought this up, and I wanted to say thanks for bringing this up. So the winter patch, which is coming out on the 19th, I believe, is going to be the biggest patch they've ever released, and they're going to do a bunch of stuff, but basically this is going to be my final attempt to get into Battleborn before I write this off, and I'm going to try to go in it with a clear mind, saying I'm going to just go in and see what it's like as if I've experiencing it for the first time. So that's kind of what is on the radar for me to do with Battleborn, is I want to play it this week. With Fastidious and anybody else that wants to play?
I'm in. Don't do it without me.
Okay.
I'm definitely in.
Okay. So, that comes out the 19th, which would put it on the Wednesday or Thursday. Thursday, I believe. So I will probably be playing that at the tail end of the week. That's it for Battleborn.
Cool. All right. We already talked Life is Strange. I guess we'll talk about Valhalla.
Oh, yeah. I'm kind of curious. Can you bring it up? Because I kind of want to see.
Yeah, I'll bring it up. This game is called Valhalla, but it's spelled with ones and, VA-11 space HALL-A. It is, just search for Valhalla Cyberpunk bartending or cyber bartending action. Like, you'll find it. This is a game that I actually heard about on a podcast like a year and a half ago, a long time ago. The game must have been in like development or something, or not been on Steam at that point. And it's it's a bartending simulator, which I thought sounded interesting, and it's set in the cyberpunk world. It was on Humble Bundle, so I recognized it. I was like, well, shit, yeah, I'll check it out. Cyber bartending.
Cyberpunk bartending?
I think this will do it, because I'm not going to type all that out. But this game was not what I expected. It's more like a visual novel, and you can tell that right away just by the characters, the way the characters look in it. It's very anime-ish, and
overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah, it's gotten really good reviews, which is why I want to see this through. But this game is not really, I was expecting, you know, like a cook serve delicious type game where you got to order up and you got to like figure out how to create whatever order there is, get it out on time, and then serve a bunch of people. But this game is nothing like that. You occasionally have to make a drink for somebody, and you got a book where you can look it up by name or flavor or whatever they're looking for. But really, this game is just like a book. You have a person in front of you and they're talking to you and you're talking back to them. You can't choose any dialogue options. You're just reading this for a couple of minutes, then you make them a drink, they talk a little bit more, and you kind of, the world that you live in, this cyberpunk world that you're part of, kind of slowly gets revealed to you over the course of the game. And between rounds, you can like decorate your apartment and do all this shit. But it's kind of a fucked up world, too. This underage sex robot came in offering her services. Apparently, she's a regular. And I had some conversation with her. It's like, I don't know how I feel about the game just yet. But the reviews are so good that I want to stick with it and kind of see where it's going. I looked it up on How Long to Beat. Like, I'm maybe 2 hours into this game. I looked up on howlongtobeat.com, and the game is 10 hours long. And it's so much reading. Like, wow. A lot. You can see from the screenshot here, like, it's not a whole lot of dialogue, but you're going through so much of it that, I don't know. If you have a problem with text dialogue in games, and you really don't pay attention to a whole lot of story, then this game is definitely not for you.
So let's say you're talking to somebody, you want to get more out of them. Could you put more drink?
Mm-hmm. Drink? And that's an interesting mechanic that I've started to experiment with. You can make any drink large, and you do that by doubling the ingredients, and they don't really know. So I'm thinking if you do that, they either become more loose-lipped and will tell you some information or something like that. And some drinks, the alcohol content is determined by this ingredient called camotrine, something like that. So in drinks where it says camotrine optional, you can put as much in as you want. So I was just like, click, 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 click.
Wow.
Put a ton in there.
Can you do the opposite? Can you like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can put like none in there at all.
No. I mean, can you do a small drink?
No. There's regular and there's large, okay, apparently. And each person, like sometimes there's a bit of some guesswork there, or you have to like remember stuff. Like for instance, day one, this guy comes in, he owns like a newspaper shop or whatever, or he's like the head of the news outlet, and he orders a beer, and so you make the beer for him. He's a big guy, so I made him a big one. And then he comes in the next day, and I'm like, what do you want? And he's like, what do you think I want? So based on that, I had to remember what he got the first day and made that and make that for him. And then some people will come in and say something.
You were just going to drop to your knees.
No, well, I don't know. This character that you play seems a little level-headed, but I don't know. It's a very interesting world. Like, I explained the whole thing with the sex robot, and then there was some weird guy coming in who was talking about how, like, he's all mentally messed up and likes to do weird shit sexually and violently, and I don't know. It really gets adult really quick in this.
Did you give him the sex robot's number? I mean...
No, apparently he had already hired the sex robot to act as his daughter for one day out of the year.
Would not bang again?
Wow.
No. He hires the sex robot to pretend to be his daughter for one day out of the year.
Rough. Whoa.
Yeah.
Bobby, you took it too far.
Well, he doesn't have sex with her, at least not when she's pretending to be his daughter.
Oh, okay.
Not that I know
of. Makes it okay.
but apparently, like, his daughter died. I don't know. It's a story. Like, there's so much story in this, and I'm just like, do I really want to get
invested? In a good way or a bad way?
I'd say in a good way because it is relatively interesting. Most visual novels are garbage, and I hate them so much because the only thing that they offer is story, and they can't even do that, right? Like, the story is terrible in these visual novels. They're extremely basic. Like, they're just softcore pornography for kids who are really into anime, basically. But this actually, even though I would kind of classify it as a visual novel, I think it does it right. This is, like, the only good visual novel that I have ever played, which is saying something.
I got a question for you, Bobby.
Yeah.
Real dolls. Do you know what they are?
Yeah.
The sex dolls, basically. Mm-hmm. They look like real people.
Very expensive.
So, yeah, very expensive. So
they I've looked into it. Very expensive.
They have an anime version, like the kind with, like, you can get little cat ears and big eyes and big Japanese eyes.
Not interested. No, thank you. Fuck that.
Hold on. If you were going to be gifted one, would you get like a regular person looking one or like an anime looking one?
Wow.
Fuck no, I don't want to do an anime thing. Oh my
So a
God.
Regular person one?
Yeah. Jack. Yeah, because I'm a regular person.
I don't know. I'd have to look at the full inventory and, you know, whatever
do you
I'm feeling.
A cat is what we're getting at here.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
So, you know, in Darkstalkers,
yeah.
Would you rather do Morgana or the cat chick? See, very anime or
she's got claws, so I don't think that would fly.
No claws though.
Not I think that's a very unhealthy road to go down. Anything bearing any resemblance to an animal gets that you don't want to go down that path.
The same question to you: if you're putting us on the spot, we got to put you on the spot. What
yeah, the
fuck?
One with the tentacles for sure.
Yeah,
eight eyes.
Yeah,
okay, yeah.
You, if it's spider shaped, you're all in. So
I can, I've fucked many females. Like I, let's do something different.
Like you want it to have a thorax and fangs and shit.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't even know what a thorax is, but I fucked the shit out of it.
Okay. Cool. Look it up afterwards and then tell me. Tell me if you're all on board.
I went to pee and I came back super drunk. All right. Gears of War 4. So Fastidious invited me to his, I believe it was his
This is the all Fastidious show, apparently.
Yeah. He deserves it. He's our sole proprietor.
It's not sole. We want to thank all our Patreon members.
And I believe I jumped in with his, like, WoW rating crew. And so, and they were all on Xbox. Fast and I were the only ones not on Xbox. First of all, hats off to how seamless everything worked. If anything was off, it was how easy sniping was for me, being on a controller.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing it might have been. So I picked Sniper for the first time, only because it seemed to fit where, you know, that and, you know, sniping's fun. And holy shit, guys. I had the most fun gaming experience I've had in months. Like, I jumped in with these four, like, dudes who know what they were doing. I fell in line. I knew my place. I'm at the bottom of the totem pole. I'm just asking, where should I be and what should I do? That's it. And that's all I...
So you were being carried.
I'm being carried, yes. But I was also, you know, covering... I was doing my shit. And we went on hardcore, Bobby, we were playing on normal, you and
mm-hmm. I. Oh, yeah, when we were playing?
And we got to, like, maybe 14 on a good, the best run.
We got to 17. We almost hit 17. 20. I think we got to level 19.
We played on hardcore. One of the guys had been to level 50 once on hardcore. We all got to level 50 together that night.
Wow.
And awesome.
It was hard fought, and it took a long time, and... No shit, guys. On level 50, we had died two or three times, and our resources were depleted. We had nothing left. And I literally said, guys, let's do one more for shits and giggles. And we fucked.
The old S&G win.
And I didn't lose. I didn't miss one headshot. I was just in the zone. My sniping was on point. Everybody else was. And not just that. The boss at the time was a helicopter. And he just kind of stayed away, and that definitely helped.
Oh, gotcha.
But, man, so much fun. Yelling, oh, my God. More than exhilarating. I felt like...
Like being a raid boss on WoW for the first time?
Exactly, and I told you that night. I felt like it was a raid boss on WoW.
More than EverQuest. Remember EverQuest, those raid bosses?
I felt like...
Oh, man.
There were, genuine fear of losing. Like, we were so close. It was fantastic. Fan-fucking-tastic.
I think that's what a lot of games are missing these days. There's no stakes. Like, it's got to be a challenge. That's why I love Wave Survival, because it's designed to be extremely challenging. Like, it's designed to make you lose several times till you figure out what you're doing, and you can execute it perfectly, and then win and move on.
I mean, that's kind of like the Dark Souls theory also, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't played that much Dark Souls, but yeah, just brutally hard.
Yeah, but like the farther you go, the more reward you have, but the more risk you have too.
The thing about Wave Survival is the difficulty ramps up in such a way that you are never like, you never feel like I just flat out failed. You know, you always feel like there's something you could have done better, or if you had been a little better about managing your resources or something. I don't know. I just like those type of games.
That being said, I had so much fun, right? And now it's time to, like, my sniper went from level 1 to, like, 17, and my, 1 to 3, and my group level went up, like, my account level went up, like, six levels and all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. And you can pick this or that and get all these cards and blah, blah, blah. And by the time I was all done leveling up, my sniping ability went up 30%. And now I'm so much more useful, but I don't think I'm ever going to get that experience again. I could play another year, and I might have one more night just like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was like the perfect storm. And I don't want to play that game where I'm just trying to unlock more and more sniping abilities. I could go down that route, or I can go play Oxenfree. And that's what I'm going to get into next. I finished up Oxenfree.
Which you didn't like too much the first time you tried it.
And the same thing kept bugging me throughout. In order to hear all of one dialogue, you need to either play it out, which is okay, or cut them off. But you can't do both. Because once the dialogue plays out, your option to intervene is gone. So you have to cut people off. And this is why we cut Bobby off all the time, just because, you know, we already know what he's going
to
say.
It's to get more points. Yeah.
You know, just clicking. Anyway, the game's really good. Gets creepier and creepier. Not scary. Never scary. Just creepy, weird, trying to figure it out. My biggest complaint of this whole game is I won't exactly say what it is, but let's say the antagonist is very hard to understand. Because it's over a staticky radio, and it's so distorted. I know they're trying to make it as creepy as possible, but Sam and I had no idea what they were saying. I would say 60% of the time. So it's almost like you're hearing somebody in a different language.
You can't do captioning.
I don't know. Okay, it didn't even come up. That would be fantastic.
Okay,
but overall the game is fantastic. The endings, there's many, many, many endings.
So do you feel like you want to play it again to see more endings?
No, because there's YouTube. And that's what I tell everybody now. If there's multiple endings, do yours the way... Do you. You do you. And then just go look up what other people had. And I don't want to spoil anything. So do you, and then just go YouTube the rest of it.
And cool.
Just know that...
You played... The good way or whatever, or do you just made choices?
As I would.
You just made choices that you wanted.
Exactly. Yeah. I wasn't trying to get good or bad. I was just playing as I would. So another little complaint was the reuse of the same resources over and over. The map is pretty small, and you just, in order to get all these conversations done, you're just walking over the same. But the story's really good. Really good. It's worth playing, for sure. But, you know, little complaints here and there.
Cool. Well, it's got a very positive, which is good, but it's not overwhelmingly, so that probably people are experiencing the same issues that you have.
Exactly.
Yeah, but let's not go entirely off of Steam reviews. We don't know how weird those can be.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So, Chad, your computer is finally up and running now?
Okay. Yeah. So, last week, I was saying I had bought a... PSU and it had died on me, and so I needed to get a new one. I went through Amazon this time and I got an EVGA Supernova 550G2.
Which Discord overwhelmingly approves of.
Good, good. Because all my reviews, all my research said that the EVGAs, the Supernovas were good. The full line was good. The G2 means it's being made by their original manufacturer, which is better than the GS version and the G1 version. So the G2 is the way to go, is what I hear. And the 550 is a little low, but I got it at a good price, and I think 550 is enough for me from the research I've done, is the 550 is enough, because I'm not SLI, I'm just a single 970, I'm not doing anything crazy, and I've only got one hard drive that it's being supported on. So,
do you feel like if you go to, let's say, you jump to a 1080, do you think you would have to up your power supply?
That does come into effect, what your graphics cards are set up with. So,
Bobby?
If you went to a 1080, you might be safe with a 550, but I don't know. I wouldn't feel comfortable running it on that.
Yeah, so we'll see how it goes. The 550 is what I got, but that means now I can again play good games, so hence wanting to play Battleborn. I'm obviously going to get back into WoW because I've taken a couple weeks off there. And looking at new games to play. Shadow Warrior, I'm going to play Shadow Warrior for sure.
Here's the thing about power supply units, like you put in a graphics card and you're like, oh, I can tell this and this and this. Power supply is either working or it's not working. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. But it's one of the more important pieces. You just need it. So,
hey, Bobby, what is a Heroes of the Storm? Can you elaborate?
Yeah, we haven't heard
Heroes
of that game.
Heroes of the Storm, that game. You know what? I can't even remember what I was going to say about
Valyra.
Oh, Valyra, yeah. So this isn't so much about Heroes of the Storm as it is about how Blizzard likes to release their heroes. You know, every MOBA comes out with new heroes. WoW or HOTS does theirs every 3 weeks. And a lot of times they'll do some sort of clever
tease, right?
Yeah, some sort of tease or some sort of clever way of revealing them. And what they did on Valyra is they accidentally put up a page saying, hey, Valyra's the new hero. Didn't tease it at all, just pages up there. It's all over Reddit. People are like, oh, cool, Valyra. People were a little upset about it because there's been a lot of assassins lately and there's been a lot of WoW characters and they want them to branch out. I don't personally give a shit, but, you know, people like to complain about something.
Is there WoW is their richest.
Yeah, WoW's got the most lore to pull
but
from.
How many Overwatch are there?
Two. Okay. Zarya and Tracer.
But then again,
no Winston yet, though.
Nope, no Winston.
You see what I'm saying, though? Like, okay, so there's like 22. You're talking about.
Yeah, there's like
5%.
Yeah, there's a small.
Yeah.
5% of Overwatch and 5% of WoW is like.
Yeah, yeah, you could make the whole game just WoW.
And the StarCraft heroes that they have, they've taken generic StarCraft units like the tank and the medic, and they've given them names and then threw them in there as a character. So, like, they even have to reach pretty far. WoW is just so easy to do. I don't know. I'm not too caught up on that. But they pulled the page down because obviously they posted it way too early, and now they're trying. They went through with the slow tease. Like, they're putting stuff on Twitter like a silhouette of a character and then a, like, dagger runs through it and drips like green ooze, like poison, because Valyra and Hearthstone does a lot of like poison yep. effects, right? So they're doing this whole like campaign to tease the new hero when everybody knows who it is. Like, it's common knowledge.
Everybody in your circle.
I suppose.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, there's your tier and then there's the normal tier. And then there's the casuals.
Yeah, but I feel like this has penetrated to the outer regions. I mean, it's pretty well known at this point. But
yeah.
It's just kind of funny.
To the outer regions.
Yeah,
so
who
bad.
Doesn't?
Penetrating to those outer rim worlds. That outer rim.
Yep.
But yeah, so everyone knows that it's coming.
So did you see the different effects that she's got?
No. They haven't released anything about her kit yet, so we're all
Well,
waiting.
They have.
Oh, so we're
oh, they
watching.
Have.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
So apparently that didn't penetrate my region.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. So she has a Vanish as her...
Vanish?
Vanish. She has Vanish, which may be similar to... but she also might have something to do with silencing. But I don't think that's tied to a button. I think that's her, like, trait or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Her passive.
Her passive. She has an eviscerate, which they think is a melee ranged. She has one where she like dashes forward, so that's one move. She has one which is like a melee range eviscerate.
A lot like the Overwatch chick.
Yeah,
the
it brand does.
New one.
Yeah. She's got a melee range attack, which also does an on hit with her basic attack.
Hmm.
And then, so her two supers, one was a smoke bomb and one is a cloak of shadows for the team or something like that.
Okay.
So there is some info on her abilities.
I'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are worried, and myself included, that it's going to add more stealth to the game, and that is the least enjoyable part about the game to me.
Yes.
And it's not even so much that I have an issue with it. It's just I play with a lot of people who seem to not be able to pick stealth. If you play a lot of the game and you get good at it, you can start to figure out, you can see the little glimmer that happens. It's like the StarCraft II stealth. But if you play on a laptop or at low resolution graphics, it's very difficult for a lot of people to see. But I don't know. She'll come out. I'll play the hell out of her. I've already gotten Zul'jin to level 10. I've been having so much fun with him in Quick Match. Like, I don't think I could get away with it in Ranked or anything that involves a draft. But I take him in Quick Match, and I just fucking wreck. Oh, my God. I've gotten so good at just getting real low on health and just doing a shit ton of damage and knowing how to bait him out just enough.
Fell for some clickbait. It was like $32,000 hit point damage combo Zul'jin. I clicked on it. I took one look, maybe 3 seconds of gameplay, and I'm like, I don't understand any of this. I'm going to go away. I can't.
Was it from like WoW, or what was it?
No, for...
Heroes of the Storm?
Oh.
It doesn't...
The numbers are just gibberish to you.
Well, he's got a...
I get it.
An ability that does a shit ton of damage that he can launch from very far, and... The lower health he is, the more damage it does. But yeah, if you don't play the game, then it wouldn't make any sense. I thought it was going to be some like advertisement or something when you said clickbait. That's what I assumed.
No, I meant like
they want you to watch the
looking at the top down perspective. I lose interest almost instantly, even though I fell for the clickbait initially. Like, oh, I'm interested in Zul'jin. I'm interested in high damage, low health. Click on it, overhead. I'm done. That was
it. It's a visual language. Like, now that I played so much Heroes of the Storm, like, I feel like it's reversed for me. If I watch Smite now, then it doesn't make much sense to me, and I just don't really get it. And it seems very unnatural for me to play a game and not be able to see what's behind me. I know, like, that makes sense in a first-person shooter.
Or real
life. For the point of immersion, but for me to play a game and, like, not see that someone's, like, standing right there, like, I just feel like, why am I limited, like, by all this stuff?
Yeah. What you were saying right now is what I told both of you guys. While you guys were hooked on Smite, I said, guys, I can't see behind me. This is bullshit. Like, I don't
From an immersion perspective, like, if I want to emulate real life, yeah, sure, I understand that. But for, like,
but let's
a competitive
be honest,
game...
Third person is not immersive either.
Well, it's not immersive. You. And Smite is third person. But, like, when I'm playing a strategic game like that, then to me it's like you are as good as... like, you take a snapshot, you look at the map, the mini map, like everything in front of you, and then you take that information into account, and then you make decisions based off of that, and you do that as fast as you possibly can. And then when I play a game that doesn't let you see, like, behind you, I'm like, why am I not getting all the information so I can make the best decision at this point? So I don't know. I don't know. A lot of my opinions have changed on MOBAs due to Heroes of the Storm. But it's really just whatever you play. You know, there's no right answer here.
Should we talk Death by Game Show?
Yeah. So, thank you.
Pig Sack, didn't he?
No.
Rubber Nuts.
Rubber Nuts, yes, that's right.
By everybody, this game. And we played it.
Thank you, Rubber Nuts.
What?
I just wanted to make sure that was clear.
Yeah. And it's interesting. It has a lot of production value. It has a lot of bells and whistles and...
That was the main drawback for me, were the bells and whistles.
Yeah, it was distracting.
It was like, I'm earning...
Signs in the background.
I'm earning money. There's all these things that I can be spending money on, but I just wanted the challenge of the levels to figure out how to beat the levels and stuff. Like, I wish it had been more puzzle-based instead of more where I should be spending my money. It felt like...
It's a real-time strategy. Very strange one. Very, very strange one. I mean, you play as like one of the last humans, and they're trying to.
The robots are
in a world of robots.
Yeah,
yeah, and they're trying to kill all the. You played it too, Bobby?
Yeah, and I agree with what you're saying. It seems very cluttered. So at first, it's kind of off-putting because there's so much going on. There is an option for you to turn off signs, which kind of clears up some of that visual clutter. Because when you're on this world, it's like a 2D globe that you can walk all the way around. There's all these signs in the background, and you can't really tell what's decorative and what actually is something in the game that I can interact with. So, yeah, I turned that off pretty quick. And you just got to play a little bit of it till you realize, like, okay, this does this and this does that. But there are quite a bit of options. They kind of build you up to it, though. Like, they start you off very simple, and then it gets more advanced from there.
I would have liked it maybe. I don't even know how. Maybe if they would have held my hand a little more. But they didn't hold my hand enough. And then by the time I figured, because there was this level that I could not figure out how to kill this one building.
Oh,
and the whole thing was just...
You had to kill it by the air guys or something like that?
Something like that. It wasn't that. It was the rocket dudes on the floor.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And that was the only way.
Yeah.
And I had already spent my money. Anyway, cool concept. Poor execution, I would say, on this one.
The art style is really cool. I kind of like that, but...
I can't recommend this game.
It does get cluttered.
Yeah.
I want to go back to it. It just didn't hook me. I think that's what it came down to.
Yeah, me too, unfortunately. Like, I'm pretty sure Rubberness spent like $1,000 on buying 5 copies of this. But
well, thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you for that. And we don't need it. No. It was good for us to all play it, but yeah.
Bobby, are you agreeing with our assessment of it?
Terrible. Definitely not terrible.
Yeah, that was the thing.
This is somebody's game, for sure. Just not mine.
It's one of those games where they do a lot of things right, and it's a decent, good game, but it just doesn't stand out in any way, and it does a lot of the same things that other games do. You know, there's a ton of games that I've played. I'm like, this is good, but I'll probably never play it again.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was all right. I played
all right's
quite a good
word for it. It's all right. Yeah. It's not bad by any stretch.
I do like the animation, though. I compared it to, like, Ren and Stimpy. I think when I first played it and talked about it.
Yeah, for sure. And there are some humorous moments in it, for sure.
Death by Game Show. All right. So I believe that's it for highlights and lowlights. Let's move on here. And do we have a listener question? I can't tell from this note here.
Sort of. Can you open that up? This actually came through Discord, and they were just having a side conversation. Clown Lotion, Fig Sack, Flying Hawaiian were talking. And I kind of screenshotted it and saved it because I wanted to ask you two the same question. So basically, Clown Lotion said, what do you guys name your PC? Mine is Guilty Spark. And FigSec said, mine's Computer because I'm not weird. He doesn't name his. And then Clown Lotion bags him about it. And Flying Hawaiian says he calls his TI-83 the first calculator with Wi-Fi.
Did a TI-83 have Wi-Fi?
I don't know.
I think we need
and I'm not sure if that's
that.
A serious answer or if he was just fucking around with them.
He was probably fucking around.
My question is, do you guys have a name for your computer? And I wanted to ask Chi this, so I will probably ask her next week because I'm kind of curious.
I would call mine Footstool because I always put my feet
I don't know
cross-legged
what you mean.
Right on top of my tower.
With the little heat blowing up.
Which you don't have anymore.
Yeah, you're right. I can't name a Footstool.
Mm-hmm. I don't name my computer anymore. I just take the default name when you're going through the Windows setup. It's like Bobby-PC. But back when I had
boring
three computers in my house, maybe more, I did name them because I did a lot of networking. No, although that would be good. I did a lot of networking in my house because I wanted to be able to, like, I had a computer in my room that stored all this is like maybe even pre-YouTube, all the movies, all the videos and stuff, and then maybe I wanted to watch them out in the living room, so I had to network that. So to know which computer was which, I had to name them all and keep them straight, and that's when I got a little creative with it. I'm trying to remember a few names that I had.
Really creative.
One
was bedroom one, bedroom two, and living room.
No, one was Biohazard because that one was green and had, I think I've shown a few pictures of this one. It was probably the craziest gaming PC I built. Fully water-cooled, UV green, two, at the time, I don't know, they were the best. You could get like 4870s, ATIs.
I thought you were going to call it Biohazard because that was your porn computer and you for sure had viruses on it.
It had all those like nuclear waste sign things the fan filters. It was a great looking PC. I took a picture of it with like my iPhone 3, so it looks like garbage.
Woo!
But I do have those on my Google Drive. Maybe I'll post them up somewhere. But what other
He says never. Means never.
I'll remind him so he can do it.
Let's see. Drive.
I'm calling. I just have kind of nicknamed my current setup as the cube because it's kind of just very cube-like. Mm. Black and
cubish. What is in Star Trek Next Generation, what were they called? The Borg?
The Borg.
They lived on what?
Yeah, their ship was like a cube.
Yeah, but it was named something.
I don't remember what it
was
called.
That's what we should name it.
Yeah. To follow up on this, do you guys name anything? Because I tend to name my cars names, but not my computers.
I don't know
computers.
Your car's names. Don't lie to people. Dude.
This my current car doesn't have a name, but when all through like high school and stuff, I always like named my cars.
Yeah.
Just because it's fun. I don't know, just to name it something. Which sounds like what Clown Lotion was kind of doing as well. So I was just curious if you guys have named your computer and have something interesting about that. Share it with me on Discord. Throw me an at Flopsy and let me know because I'm kind of curious. So,
Fastidious says he drives a Prius and its name is Barack.
Okay.
So there are things that happen.
Yeah, I'm not sure why. Maybe it's black. Is that why it's called Barack?
Wow, you just took it there.
I'm just curious.
Nobody took it there until you took it.
I was just curious. I don't know. All right.
What's next?
Hold on. I think Fastidious has another question. Let's see. Do you guys have any initiative to have like one night a week where DLG comes together and does some gaming with the Discord crew?
Yes. I mean, that's always a goal of ours. Like we want to put as much.
The problem is we're adults.
The problem is mainly is I'm not here on the weekend. So weekends are very difficult for us. And Bobby and Emil are working. She usually works nights, and we work during the day. So it's just near impossible to get all four of us together. Even the podcast, she's not here this time, and it's not her fault. She could have done it earlier, but it's just very hard for us to all get together.
It's hard to set like an exact day. Like every week this day, because our schedules vary so much. Although I will say, like, the weekends are always really open for me, and I have considered streaming a little bit more and kind of involving more people with that. Well, streaming more, I should say streaming at all, because I haven't streamed in a very long time.
I think you should, Bobby.
I should. I always turn on OBS, and I'm just like, I'm just not feeling it today. The hair's not looking good or something,
In case you're wondering why we don't, there's no internet. I mean, no YouTube or no video to, and you have to just listen to us. Bobby's very self-conscious. And I don't know why, because he's very good looking.
He's a handsome man.
No, it's just, if we did video, like, I want it to look good. And you guys don't seem to understand, like, the subtleties of lighting and, things like that. That, like, you look at something on YouTube, and they make it look like all DIY. And that shit ain't, dude. I know they're working with, like, a really nice studio and cameras and lighting and shit like that. So, I don't know. I'm very picky and selective, and that stuff takes a lot of time and work. So when it does happen, it's going to be glorious, I'll tell you that. But
if you have any suggestions, Fastidious, on how to get us all to be able to do that, let us know, because we are...
Yeah, we could use another PowerPoint.
Yeah, we've been talking about ways to get us all together and to do more about it, and we're struggling a little bit. But yeah, hopefully Bobby records or does more streaming, and she always is streaming, so...
Yeah, she's been streaming quite a bit, too.
Yeah.
This week, she's been crushing it.
Cool. Just a little bit on the esports corner. This is going to be very quick on my side. They're going on right now is the WESG, which is the World Electronic Sports Games, and they are doing... They're doing CSGO, Dota 2, StarCraft 2, and Hearthstone. So those are big ones. And the prize pools are in the millions for these. So this is pretty big.
Hmm. I was way off.
But
I thought it was the women's estrogen.
Yeah, you were, yep. Like the opposite.
Super gala.
Yep. Completely wrong. You couldn't be less right. So you guys obviously haven't even heard of it, so you're not watching it.
Yeah, I don't know what this is.
Yeah, so
these people look really cool in their computer chairs.
But yeah, so there was stuff going on with this. So
millions of dollars in prizes, and Bobby and I didn't hear about it.
And that's
I don't understand what this is. Is this like DreamHack or like some sort of event?
I think it's coming out of China or somewhere in the Asia regions. And I think it's just a big tournament that somebody's putting on. Okay. They're trying to just turn it into a thing.
Mm. It looks like they have four games: CS:GO, Dota 2, StarCraft 2, and Hearthstone.
Yeah. So I think the qualifiers are all done. So I think the main tournament is going on kind of now-ish. So if you're interested in watching any of that, I recommend giving it a go. And you can find out more on their website, whatever their website is.
All cool. Right. After that, I meant to, we did a Smite extravaganza was all 3 minutes last week. And I forgot to mention that there's a whole new Pantheon coming out. I believe the original Pantheons were 5 or maybe 6.
Could we list them?
If you're guessing what a Pantheon is, it just means like a collection of beliefs, I believe.
A collection of gods, really, yeah. in this one. So we got the Greek and the Roman ones.
Yep.
We've got the Aztec.
Aztec or Maya?
Whatever.
One or the other.
One of the two.
Yeah, brown people.
Yeah, and we've got...
Indian. The Hindu, that would be.
Yeah, and then we've got...
We got the
Chinese.
Vikings. Russian Vikings. I mean... Vikings and Chinese.
Yeah, so I think that's it.
Yeah, we don't need to go through all of them.
Oh, Egyptian.
Yeah, we do. No, we don't.
Egyptian.
We don't need Egyptian.
Yeah.
Okay.
But what are we getting at here? What's going on? Like, what is this leading up
to? Like, how big this is to add another one. So if there was three and they add another one, that would be a 33% increase. But they have seven.
I don't know.
Six or seven.
They're adding another one. And it's the Celtic one.
Celtic. And that would be, like, Irish, right?
Yeah.
What is now Ireland?
Yeah. Ireland, Welsh, all that region over there.
Yeah. And so who they have as gods, who knows?
Yeah, I don't know any of them.
And
so we'll see.
If they're gonna
but we're going to have really fun names coming up, like the Schmarshmars and stuff like that. Like, it'll be a blast to just pronounce. So,
and, like, if you're going to introduce a pantheon, it should come with, like, three gods.
Yeah.
You can't just do one.
Yeah.
One pantheon with one god, but I don't think that's what they're doing. I think they're coming out with one god.
But they'll probably have all from this pantheon for a while.
Bobby, do you remember when I sent you those texts of like how I would do Jesus and Muhammad?
Oh, yeah.
And I think he thought Jesus was funny, and then when I sent him Muhammad, he's like, okay, dude, you thought about this way too much. They were like super long texts. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That was when we were really into Smite. And we would, you would come up with ideas, like fully fleshed out ideas of like, this is how they should do this god and like all their abilities and all that shit.
Oh, I did that for...
it was like fan fiction.
Heroes of New Earth had a website where you could create it, upload pictures, everything, and then submit it to the company. I think League of Legends also does that. And it's kind of like, yours could be picked. They had like fan-created gods that were on Heroes of New Earth and all.
I've been waiting to like find this before I actually bring it on the podcast and talk about it. But when I was a kid, they had some gaming magazine had like a contest to like design a game. And I had what I thought was a really awesome idea for a game. And I drew it up. I like wrote everything out, like really fleshed this out. You know, it's sitting somewhere in a manila folder in my dad's garage, but it was called Insecticide.
I already love it.
There's a game on Steam called Insecticide. It looks like garbage, but it was basically Street Fighter, but with insects. So you have to work your way around the backyard and fight, you know, like a praying mantis or a ladybug, and they all have their special moves. I thought it was a really good idea.
Okay.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
I mean,
so when I find it, you're going to see it, dude. I straight up drew this shit. Like I had named
how
each
old
character.
Were you though, Bobby?
I have all their special abilities. I'm wondering if I looked at it now, I think it would just be a blatant Street Fighter ripoff.
Probably.
But, you know,
how old were you, Bobby?
I don't know. I was in middle school. I was probably like 11 or something.
So when I was 19, my coworker and I wrote up a whole thing on how to make the next Mario Kart and sent it into Nintendo.
Oh, wow.
And they
mailed it to Nintendo.
They flew you out, right?
Yeah.
To discuss.
Have a meeting.
Out of that, Double Dash came out.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Exactly.
Yep.
They took all the ideas, didn't give you any credit.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't think we're getting back into Smite. I would I occasionally watch a stream of Smite, and I would be willing to go back and play a little bit of it, but I don't think it would have the same hooks as it did before.
I just want to go...
Because you can't see behind you, right?
Yeah, but I know.
I want to go play the Wave Survival. I think that would be fun for
I'm down.
To go do.
I'm down.
They have
other.
Wave Survival?
Maybe even tonight.
I would... I bet you if we played right now, I would be better than Emilio. I'm not saying I'd be better than Bobby, because Bobby was kind of like autistically good at Smite, right?
Well, on Ymir, maybe that was about it.
But
dude,
I think
in that game, I only played like one hero.
But why would you be better than me?
Just because I feel like our baseline, I'm better than you, and then as soon as you start playing, then you overshoot me.
Just in general, I feel like I'm better than
just,
you.
Just
that's what he's
about
saying.
Life, I'm better.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
All right, moving on. What else? News. Talk some news. Nintendo Switch, is that out yet?
No, but I really love the Japanese. I hate everything Japanese. Going back real
even
quick
their porn?
To Life is Strange, there was no Japanese weirdness at all. The greatness about that game is exactly what Bobby brought up, is like it really related to the real world. It all played out so realistically as to the American everything.
Yeah. I think the developers of that game are French too.
Yeah, they are.
They're not American. Yeah.
I mean, they did not like a perfect job, but really, really.
But we're talking really about the Nintendo Switch.
No, I know. What I'm saying is what I really liked about the Japanese when they get up on stage and talk about shit.
Conferences, news, yeah. Press conference?
Sure, press conference. Was it, and I hate all Japanese stuff otherwise, was how it was like, we're going to come up with a Nintendo Switch. It's going to come out this date. It's going to be this price. And it was just like, boom, 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 boom. Within 4 minutes, everything that I needed to know was already done. And then they went on for an hour and a half.
Mm.
It's like front load all the important information.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fantastic.
And then the people that are really interested can continue to watch and see all the the little tidbits.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. I feel you.
I dug it so much. So
the only thing that scares me about Nintendo Switch is one promotional screen, and it shows four people on their Switches all sitting down and playing, and the screens all are in four person co-op mode, but they're all on their own screen.
Right.
And it shows, and that scares the hell out of me.
Yeah.
That could just
excuse
be an
me.
Error of, you know,
I hope so.
Shot.
If they make you do four player split screen on a Nintendo Switch,
yeah,
you're fucked.
Yeah. So anyway, this thing, you know, the big driver here is that they're going to take everything they had for every system ever and put it into this one. So it's going to be mobile. It's going to have a screen that you can play off of the screen on the TV. It's going to have controllers that have motion sensing. It's going to, you know, everything, every single thing you could think of that they've had in a previous iteration.
And it's going to be how much? $450 is the price tag?
$299. Yeah, not bad at all.
Wow.
It's a deal.
Yeah.
I'm actually kind of curious. I'm kind of interested,
I mean,
honestly.
$299. Fuck it.
Yeah.
You know? We shit $299.
Yeah. Except we don't. That's the problem.
I couldn't pay rent this month.
Yeah. Other than that.
Well,
until
it's cheaper than
came in and
an Oculus or a Vive.
Kidding.
All right.
Speaking of Oculus.
Are you peeing again?
Dude, it's real bad. I've been drinking a lot.
Bladder problem. He's got the bladder of a 4-year-old, I swear to God. Okay, so I guess I'm continuing the news since our news person just walked off. So, Bobby, do you know anything about the ZeniMax and Oculus feud that's going on in the courtrooms and all?
Nope, that shit is boring. I don't pay attention to much.
Okay, well, ZeniMax, and I think ZeniMax is important because they own id... and some other ones.
Yeah, they own id and Bethesda.
Apparently, when Oculus was bought by Facebook, ZeniMax filed a lawsuit saying that they stole something of theirs. And then Oculus has called their lawsuit wasteful litigation, and they're saying they're doing it to just try to take credit from them. And now this week, ZeniMax has basically said Oculus Rift is deleting and removing, you know, information that is vital to the actual lawsuit. So it's starting to get it's starting to get a little serious back and forth between these guys. Hmm. The only reason that this is kind of important is because this is a lot of money being thrown at stuff that could be going to games and all, and that's the only thing that bothers me. It's going to lawyers when I'd rather it go to development of games.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like a lot of trouble for the Oculus. It already kind of got paled in comparison to the Vive when that came out, and I feel like this is just more trouble. I wonder how much of this has to do with John Carmack leaving id Software and going over to work on the Oculus.
Yeah.
It looks at the bottom of the article, they mentioned that he was questioned last week about his knowledge pertaining to a MacBook, which had not been wiped, to which he replied, "I'm not a Mac user unless under duress." That's a typical John Carmack quote right there. But yeah.
Yeah, so if you're interested, there's lots of information out. The articles we were looking at was on PC Gamer, but there's lots of stuff. So we'll see how this develops and if anything more comes out of it.
All right.
But I would say we all going. I'm sorry, I was peeing.
Yes, I know.
So back to the Nintendo. We all agree that they should be a third party developer, right?
And yeah, I mean, Nintendo wants to stay true to its roots, but I would agree that they should take the Sega route and try to just start making their games for other platforms. But
I don't know. I don't mind if they have a console. I kind of like what they do. They're like, hey, we're not going to have the best graphics, but we've got really fun games, and they're all kind of family friendly, and you know, that's like our deal. You know, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, but are you mad if you had a Wii U? Like, how long did they support that for?
See, I don't know all the Wii U drama. Like, what's the deal with that? Like, it came out, it was terribly unpopular, nobody bought it, and so all the games can't
now
play
Switch.
On other systems.
They've already said that they're not supporting Wii U anymore. They're doing all their.
You can play U games on Switch, right?
Dude, that's the console life, man. That's why I play PC. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If they stop making hardware, we could play Nintendo games on other hardware.
Yeah, that would be cool, but that's never going to happen, dude. That's never going to happen. You're never going to play like a Mario or a Zelda game. But what happened with Sega, because they got the shit kicked out of them, but
yeah,
Nintendo's like way too big. That's never, I don't know. Yeah, sure, that'd be nice.
The Wii money dried up. It's interesting to see how Switch does. I honestly hope Switch does well, because I think it makes it more interesting to have.
I never want Nintendo to die.
Yeah, Nintendo is kind of our childhood, so.
I feel like Sega took its tail and became third person. Nintendo can like lead a charge and become third person.
Yeah.
It would be a gigantic move.
Yeah, for sure.
Speed running, aka GameStop Quick.
You want to just let me handle this one?
Yeah.
No, just
let him handle it.
Why isn't it called GameStop Quick?
This one is called GameStop Quick is an event that happens, I think, twice a year. The one summer was really big. I watched a lot of that last July, I believe. And apparently they did another one. It came out of nowhere and surprised me. This one was called Awesome Games Done Quick, AGDQ. It's where they stream games on Twitch, bunch of different games. They speed run them, and they raise money for various charities. This time it was for the Prevent Cancer Foundation.
By people tipping.
Yeah. The last time I watched it, they were able to influence what games were going to be played and were going to be viewed by tipping or determine a certain outcome. Because whenever they play a game, they always specify, how is this game going to be speed run? Is it going to be any percent? Are they going to be, like, for instance, they did Undertale. Are they going to do the pacifist run or not? And what they did with Games Done Quick during the summer is, you know, donate and tell us what you want, you know, cast your vote. So I donate $5. I want to see the pacifist run, or I donate $5. They're playing Super Metroid. I want to see him kill the animals. I'm
so
donating,
you're getting
the there's involvement with
That's
the listener
cool.
or with the viewer.
Are there lobbyists?
Yes. I don't know. I don't think it gets that complicated, but it's a sight to watch, because every time I look at these, I'm like, it doesn't seem that interesting. But then I turn it on and I just immediately get hooked, because watching somebody speed run a game is just like such an art, because they know every single glitch that they can exploit, and they do something that is incredibly hard to do, like mechanically, and they just do it like it was nothing. So to watch somebody do it is just, it's a work of art to me. And it you look here at the schedule, you can see what games they had. A few of them that I missed that I would have liked to see was Psychonauts and Borderlands 2. That
Shovel Knight I would watch.
Borderlands 2, they did two-player co-op speedrun. That would be cool.
Yeah, and sometimes what they'll do is they'll do a competition where they'll have four people playing, and each of them try to beat each other and see who can speedrun the quickest. I saw a Super Metroid run like that. That was awesome. Super Metroid was a Super Nintendo game,
yeah,
by the way. Fear Extraction Point. Okay, that's an old
somebody
one.
Once played four games at once with four different limbs and beat them all at the same time.
Really?
I forget what game or what it was, but yeah, that happened.
That happened.
It's in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Okay, cool.
I love when you just tell like the vaguest story with like no details.
Because he's drunk. This is what he does when he's drunk. He tells these great stories.
I got a big...
Okay, let's see. I'm looking at other games here. See, I wasn't too impressed with the lineup. Well, they did have Super Metroid rotation. So
are you more interested in the games or the people playing the games? Because I don't recognize any of these people, but I'm assuming they're all speedrunners.
There's a huge speedrunning community. And so in the speedrunning community, yeah, they're very popular.
Okay.
And they probably have their own little following.
Because Jimmy
on their
Poopins, I now
Jimmy
want
Poopins.
To know.
Oh, you don't know Jimmy?
No, okay. I don't know Jimmy Poopins.
Yeah, I'm kidding. I don't know either. The last one that I watched the most of, the last one that they did, Cool World. That's hilarious. Someone speedrun Cool World from Super Nintendo. But the last one that I watched the most of was Undertale. And this guy was just tearing up that game. Oh my God, it was crazy to watch. They did this like all week too. Like this list goes on for quite a bit of time. But I don't know. Game's done quick, definitely worth checking out. It's going to be happening again probably, I think July is when they do the other one.
Cool. Last thing on news is Elite Dangerous had a kind of a big event. And I don't believe we talked about this last week. I know Emilio and I talked a bunch about this just together, but I don't think we talked on the podcast.
It was awesome, man. I don't know if the article you read was the one that I read, but it was the guy who said he was like going along with the flight with a guy who always...
Yep.
Okay, so Elite Danger has been out for how long?
Several years.
Several years?
Yeah.
At least two.
At least, okay. Yeah, at least
at two. And it's a popular game. People have put in, you know, tons of hours into this game. And this one guy...
I think they had said that there are aliens in the game a year ago. So okay. People have been trying to find these aliens for
okay,
like a year.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
And
I believe. I'm not 100% sure, but I thought that's what happened.
And the reason that threw me off is because I was going to say how cool it was for them to not announce that, you know? Like, for it to happen organically.
Well, there's things in the game that I think hint that of alien races and stuff like that, but nobody's ever seen aliens. They've just seen the remnants and stuff of it.
So this guy, he likes to explore. So he has said that he likes to just fucking put his spaceship on, like, whatever, like...
autopilot?
Kind of, but also kind of exploring like a zigzag pattern, just like going through and just going through. And it's very relaxing for him, and he just does it. And he
talks to his guild while he's just flying.
And he'll go for weeks, if not a month, just like out on his own. And I think the developers must have said, let's get the guy with the most miles traveled and reward him.
Maybe.
That's the way I see it. Because it seems to be a little too far-fetched that a guy that loves to go out for a month at a time was also...
It's also... This game has, like, a huge map, and maybe it was just an area that nobody had been to.
Could be.
Wouldn't it make sense that the guy who travels the most and explores the most would be the one that's to find
either
this?
Way, whether it be my way or what Chad says, it makes sense, right? Whether it be just by default or he was rewarded. So anyway... He was doing a hyper jump, which they call something weird, like a witch jump in that game. And he got sucked out of hyper jump.
Which isn't...
Never happened.
You can't do it.
Yeah. He got sucked out of it, so...
Which he told his guildies while he was on...
And nobody believed him.
Yeah, he's like, this is weird.
Yeah.
The video, by the way, you have to see this video. If you're into this at all, you just have to see this video and look it up, Elite Dangerous Aliens, because he was recording it and he got to see this. I think the article I read was on PC Gamer.
This is interesting. Okay.
So what happened, though? He found
aliens? Pulls it out.
No, no, we're getting there.
I mean, I was drunk, so he's telling a nice slow story.
So in the way that watching an episode of Star Trek is interesting, this article and this video was interesting.
Yeah.
They buried the lead. So go ahead.
He gets pulled out, and his ship is dead, but he had a ship following him, so the ship's blowing him up. And he's,
NBC ship.
Yeah, and he's just, you see in the video, he's just floating around because it's in space and he has no power, so his ship is just kind of like spinning around. And then, like this fucking crazy looking ship is in front of him, and he has no idea what's going on because he's never seen the ship before, even though he's played 2,000 hours in this game. And it looks like a metal
flower
sort of thing, and it kind of opens up and like looks at him. And it kind of looks like it's doing something, and then it just kind of turns around and flies off, and then he gets power back to his ship. And he's like, what the fuck was that? So, but he had to leave because the ship was shooting at him. He had a guy on him, so he had to enter hyperspace again, or whatever it's called, witch space, or whatever it is. But then later on, he gets pulled out again, and this time he gets to, like, he knows what's going on, and he turns on his ship and starts following the alien, and he's trying to, scan it. He tries to scan it, and he gets it scanned, and it says, like, unrecognizable or an unknown entity, and then it flies off again. So, like, that's the first contact, and now more people have seen this, and it might actually go somewhere, and there's more thoughts and ideas on what might be going on. But how awesome. I was watching the videos, and I kind of got chills, even though I don't know the game much. And I don't know, you know, even really what's going on. Just the idea that you could be playing a game for 2,000 hours and then just see this monumental kind of thing in a game that you thought you know so well.
He said he was shaking at his computer.
It's just a cool idea that you don't...
Absolutely.
You can't get this in a movie or really in a book or anything else like that. Yeah. These experiences can only happen in video games.
It happened to me in EverQuest where I saw... I believe it was a Pegasus in, like, the West Barrens or the West Strait or whatever it's called. I don't remember. I saw a Pegasus, and I told my guild. I was like, hey, guys, there's a Pegasus. Do you think it's strong? And they said, a what? And I was like, there's a Pegasus. And I was like... And within half an hour, there was probably like 300 people just swarming it because it was hard to kill and it had one of the best items in the game at the time. But I had no idea. I was just I was level 13, you know, just walking through.
So. And that was before the idea of a rare spawn or anything else like that. That's basically created stuff like that.
Their rare spawns in EverQuest were like once a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, this is awesome. They did it the right way. Whether they had announced it or just hinted at it, even better to hint at it and then immerse somebody into it. And then nobody believed them until it's funny because there's a part in the article where it says that he had to like render all the file, the video, because he takes these mass ones and then
clips them
always,
down.
Yeah, and he's got to clip it all together. So it took a while. And then finally he uploaded it to his guild and then it exploded.
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, and it's a good article. I think it's PC Gamer that did it, but you should check out the article.
It does sound like No Chat Sky. You're right.
Thanks, Fastidious. Appreciate that. That's it for news for us, and we got nothing else.
Yeah, that's it for the episode. What's next week looking like? Chi will be back.
Yep.
What are you guys planning on playing?
I'm playing Battleborn, like I said I would. I would love to play some Heroes of the Storm with you because I want to see if my main reason I haven't played Heroes of the Storm, other than the fact that I'm a scrub at it, is I get this like constant stuttering it just makes it unplayable. So I'm wondering if maybe this DVR Xbox on Windows DVR might have helped out the situation. Mm-hmm. So I would like to play it with you sometime, Bobby, and see if it gets better or if it continues to be shitty. I want to play some Shadow Warrior 2 with Emilio, hopefully.
Honestly, I'd rather play the other game you were just saying.
Which one? Heroes of the Storm?
No.
Elite Dangerous?
Elite Dangerous?
Never mind. I forgot.
The side-scroller beat-em-up one?
No. There was another. It's kind of like Borderlands, but it's...
Battleborn.
Battleborn. Okay, yeah.
We should set a date for Battleborn. We should find a date.
You own it too?
Be available. Yeah. Yeah, okay. I got Battleborn. And I have been meaning to give that game a chance, like a proper playthrough. And I understand it's one of those games you've got to play with people for it to be any good. So yeah, we should get a hard date for that and execute.
Okay. Well, the patch comes out the 19th, so it probably is going to have to push into next week to get all of us together to be able to do it.
All right. We'll organize.
Yep.
Cool.
How about you guys? What do you guys plan?
More RimWorld. I really want to get back into Turok, Dinosaur Hunter. I want to get through that. I keep forgetting to. And
it didn't look a little bad. Awesome. It just looked dated.
What, Turok?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a remastered version. And I don't think I mentioned this, but I looked up on Wikipedia what the story was. There really isn't a whole lot of story, but basically he is a
Native
protector
American.
Of a like sacred tribe that guards like this middle area between Earth and like outer weird regions or something. So that's why there's all this crazy shit.
Like a Mortal Kombat style?
It doesn't make any sense. Yeah, I guess kind of like Mortal Kombat. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense, but it doesn't need to. It was a 90s game.
Yeah.
But I do want to play more of that and probably a little bit of Awesome Knots. I thought I still had League of Legends installed because I was going to play that the other night, but I don't. So I might reinstall that.
For what reason?
I don't know. Sometimes I feel like playing other MOBAs.
No.
Smite? We could give Smite a go.
Yeah, Smite.
We could do the
there's a lot on swarm, the table.
The swarm level or whatever?
I don't know what it's called.
Horde levels. Yeah. How about you, Emilio? What are you playing?
Probably Battleborn is at the top of that list.
Okay.
And if it's only $7, yeah, I'm going to pick up the rest of Life is Strange. I'm pretty much in. You know?
Cool.
Yeah. And that's a game that you want to play consecutively. You don't want to take big breaks between them.
Yeah. If I can get the rest for $7.
Oh, he did. Fastidious. Look at the episode. He did.
Yeah. So, speaking for Chad, our absent Chi.
Yep.
Absent Chi. Come on.
My RimWorld lover.
And for Bobby and myself, let's go for some alien titties that nobody knew about. People hinted to them. There were some mounds on the, and then they kind of showed up one day.
All right,
all right, all right, titties, everybody. Good night.